Hadi bakalım.
It's a disgusting video, and we're going to continue to make clear bigotry will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
Aye, 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 aye. All right. The government has shut down, Kyle.
It's government shutdown season.
It's, yeah, here we go. We're back at government shutdowns again with a continuing resolution, an old story told again, but this time with sombreros.
Would you believe we haven't had a government shutdown since 2018, 2019?
Yeah, right.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I think not enough. Or maybe just the right amount.
It's crazy. Governments don't shut down when Democrats are president.
Well, the Republicans were too afraid to. There was a couple close calls there, but they never actually pulled the trigger.
It largely turns into an optics war.
Right? Yeah, right.
Which is what we're in. And for the first time, it seems like the Republicans might be winning the optics war.
Well, we'll see about that. So what this podcast is mostly going to be about, I mean, we're going to get into the actual like fiscal thing. We're not going to spend too much time there. We know. It gets a little boring for you guys.
Yawn.
You guys don't always really want to get into the nitty gritty of stuff. So we won't nerd out too hard. But then it's really about the discourse at this point. It's really about how the messaging war is playing out and what's working and what's not. Very interesting and hilarious all the way, like that clip, all the way through. So.
Yeah.
Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. Make sure to hit that notification bell on YouTube, on Spotify. If you're listening on Spotify, give us one of those reviews. We need more reviews. They're all high. There's just not enough of them. So we need more of them. But we have way more Spotify listeners than we have reviews. So please do that when you got a second.
This episode is brought to you by Revved Up Promo, the official apparel partner of Human Reaction. Revved Up is a premier full-service shop specializing in laser engraving, screen printing, and embroidery. Not only are they now making all of our apparel right down the road from us, they can do the same for your brand and ship it to you anywhere in the world. Revved Up helps you navigate the extensive universe of merch options and uses state-of-the-art techniques to showcase your brand in its very best light. So if you want to support our show and our generous sponsor, you can now do so by buying our merch and by turning to Revved Up Promo for your own custom apparel needs. Reach them at revveduppromo.com. That's with two V's and two P's, or just check the show notes for a link.
Yeah, so getting started. So I guess at the time of recording this, it's day two of the shutdown. We probably have weeks left of this. Right now, it's a partial government shutdown, started October 1st. It's the first one since the 35-day shutdown that we had back in 2018, the end of the 2018 year.
Good times.
Good times were had. What's going on is that Congress failed to pass the annual appropriations to fund the government through fiscal year 2026.
You mean the continuing resolution?
Yeah.
The way we fund government now?
Yeah. We failed to do that. The way that the CR is being proposed was that it's about a $1.5 trillion cut in non-defense discretionary spending. These are a lot of the things like the green energy projects, a lot of the Medicaid work requirement stuff that was going on with the Big Beautiful Bill, foreign aid, a bunch of those types of services were being cut. And the impact that we currently are standing in right now is that there's about 800,000 federal employees on unpaid leave. And about 1.3 million essential workers that are working right now, but their compensation is being pushed back.
You know, and while we're on the numbers, I did think this was interesting. Kyle, why does the government have non-essential employees? Like, imagine for a moment you had a business, and the business had non-essential employees, and that business had, what does that mean about that business? Is it running efficiently if it has employees that are not necessary?
Perhaps maybe to steel man the state's side of this. That's what I'll do. I think that the way that it's kind of like, at least as I'm looking at it, it's kind of one of those things where what they mean is like the essential to keep things running, like as is, but things like new applications for programs, verifications, stuff like that, that's considered non-essential. Mm. So in this time period, it's like all the basic functions that are required to keep the things going, those workers are staying in place. But it's like if you're trying to get a new application on like a loan or like businesses on SEC filings and things mm-hmm. like that, those are the things that are like those people can't work right now.
I feel like they could do that. They're just choosing not to.
It, well, that was always the thing. When I remember back to like, what was it, 2013, I think was the mm-hmm. big government shutdown under Obama. Like that was when I was like, I was a senior in high school back then. dating myself, dating.
it's 2025. You can do what you want, buddy. Yeah. I mean, AI girlfriend, date yourself, whatever you got
going
on.
That's not what
buddy.
I mean. Have you seen the never? The new ChatGPT Sora 2 stuff is crazy.
Really?
I've seen that stuff.
No, I have not.
That's where a lot of these videos are coming from that have been kind of all the rage now. But anyways, back then, I specifically remember there was a lot of political maneuvering where the Democrats really tried to make sure that the government shutdown was like in people's faces on the things that everybody's using every day. Mm-hmm. Like I remember there was a bunch of drama over at Yellowstone with like the shutting down the park,
yes.
and they did like a huge thing with these big roadblocks and stuff like that. Like they really wanted to make sure like the Republicans screwed you now with the shutdown.
They
right?
very clearly mm-hmm. spent more money to make it
yes.
a thing that it was to just keep it open, right? That was what was clear out of that. Okay, so I did the math.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fired all of these, and I don't say you have to fire all of them, but maybe we can make do with less than 2.2 million government employees. Maybe we could do somewhere between, if 40% of the current workforce is unnecessary to run the government, then we could fire some of those folks. And we could save some money. So that would be approximately, and I ran through the calculations with ChatGPT. So obviously back of the envelope, back of the napkin type stuff.
I trust the robots.
$120 billion saved. So think about that. Not to mention the future liabilities. Yeah. I mean, that's just for one fiscal year. I mean, going out over time.
That's kind of what Trump's threatening right now. And we'll get to some of those videos too.
Yeah,
there's a lot of threats for, I guess it's time to downsize.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those types of threats that are going on, which we will get into kind of the Republican and Democrat positioning on all of this. I guess just to kind of like get through the basic number stuff, a lot of the things that were being proposed in the GOP budget proposals were the big heavy hitters were healthcare, housing and urban development, environment and energy, education and labor, and then foreign aid in the State Department. Those are like the big heavy hitters for where the cuts were going to be had. About $1.1 trillion, largely from letting the subsidies on affordable healthcare expire.
Yeah, yeah. These are supplementary expenditures from the CARES Act, where they made a commitment in the CARES Act, which was supposed to be and sold to the American public as a one-time thing in response to COVID, became permanent funding, and now requires an annual re-upping to keep going functionally. Right?
This, along with the Medicaid restrictions, these are the two things that the Democrats are really heavy hitting on their stuff. It's just like the Republicans are going to get rid of your healthcare.
This
stuff,
right. Profound.
Yeah.
Profound messaging there. One thing here. Okay. So to be clear, they passed the CARES Act in response to COVID. The government, a bunch of states shut down. Not all states. North Dakota did not. Was it South Dakota?
South Dakota.
Christy, no. Good job, Christy. They all shut down, and the federal government's like, oh, well, we can't allow them to shut down without printing lots of money. So they printed a bunch of money and gave it away to the states. They did a bunch of rounds of these, and in one of these rounds, they did extra subsidies for healthcare. That's what we're repealing in this, right? Mm-hmm. Some of that extra subsidy for healthcare. Now, Republicans are saying that this is funds that go to pay for illegal immigrants to get healthcare.
Yeah.
But that's not the only thing these funds are paid for. This is for hospitals.
It's
subsidizing
political.
Hospitals.
Yeah.
But they're claiming this is one of the things that it does.
Well, and actually, because as I was driving into here today, I saw that J.D. Vance had just tweeted out like this long diatribe on this, because the Democrats are really hitting him on that, of the statements he made about these are funding illegal immigrants' healthcare or stuff like that. And J.D. made a point of like, no, like money is fungible. Like a lot of this is going to specific things. And then it's like, and then a lot of these states are freeloading off of that money and then using these benefits for illegal immigrants and things like that.
Sure. And that might be a factually true statement. I mean, it's one of those, it's a basic logical fallacy that the left is using here, where they're saying a claim is the whole of the claim.
Yes.
Right. The claim is that one of the things this is being funded for, like, it's not just used for that. Well, no one's necessarily saying that, right? Where what he's trying to say is that this is one of the things that it goes to. I really wish Republicans would just make the actual economic argument, which is that if you subsidize supply, you get higher prices.
That's boring, though.
Yeah, I know.
It's
but
not
if
as
you,
sexy
if
as
you
that.
Don't like healthcare being expensive, then you want the price to go down. Then you stop subsidizing supply, right?
Right. Yeah, it's sort of like government funding college loans and stuff
yes.
like that. It makes the prices go up.
Yeah.
Because now there's all this free money in the system injected into the system.
Yeah, so they raise the prices.
Which causes an inflationary effect on those things.
Right.
Other big heavy hitters here is housing and urban development. There's about a $250 billion baseline cut in spending, and then they would be freezing affordable housing vouchers, targeting a lot of these like DEI-based programs, especially. And what I've been seeing is a lot of it's like very heavily targeted in Democrat cities. There's a lot of DEI programs
classic,
on housing.
Classic Trump.
That's at least, you know, the political rhetoric around it, right? You know what I mean?
Democrats started this escalatory spiral on a targeting specific.
You have to fight back on that areas. Type of stuff.
Yeah.
Environment and energy. This is a lot of the, it's about $200 billion in cuts, especially at the EPA and the Department of Education or Department of Energy, not Department of Education. Slashing climate subsidies, handling remnants of the Inflation Reduction Act, because...
You mean the New Green Deal?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And if you're newer to the show, the Inflation Reduction Act was something that they said would address inflation. Mm-hmm. But inflation is a monetary phenomenon, and so if you print new dollars to spend it, it doesn't help inflation. What it does is it causes inflation.
I mean,
so what they did is they called it the Inflation Reduction Act, and then they gave a bunch of money away to particularly favored interest groups.
In this case, the left wing ones. I don't know, Dave. If heat rises, or if the Earth is warming, it's more AC costs. It makes your prices go up. You know what I mean? Like, there's inflation there. You got to fix that. Yeah. Education and labor, about $150 billion in baseline cuts. Some of the focuses that I'm seeing from Democrats is they're cutting free meal applications and Pell Grants, those types of things on the education side. And then in the foreign aid and the State Department, about $150 billion in cuts when it comes to the USAID reorganization, because, you know, a lot of USAID is getting gutted and then they're absorbing what's essential into the State Department there. And then other non-essential diplomacy programs.
Interesting.
And then other things are interior cuts on national parks, public radio, national public radio type of stuff.
No, not public radio.
Propaganda outlets.
No. You know,
those things.
Oh, no. Not public.
What are we going to do without NPR?
Yeah, right. Oh, God. The civil society will collapse without the smooth jazz of NPR.
And by the way, these numbers that I'm giving, these are numbers on like a 10-year saving.
Yeah, I figured so. Yeah, $1.1 trillion.
That's how these things are usually. That's how things are usually calculated.
So that they can hide everything. Yeah.
And a lot of these things, they're kind of like. My understanding is the plan is things kind of start not very heavily, and then they kind of exponentially increase the cuts over time, over about a decade. That's my understanding of how that plan's supposed to work.
Well, I imagine it's probably at minimum, when you're looking at projections, it's probably building in the automatic increase that they get every year. Right. So the government causes inflation, then it gives itself an inflation adjustment, which is extremely frustrating.
Gotta get to that 2%, buddy.
But just pointing this out. So a lot of that projection could just be that. It could just be growth in the program due to the inflation adjustment.
So basically, kind of what we're looking at right now is the Republicans and Democrats are arguing. Fancy that.
No way.
The Republicans are, you know, they're largely standing on this thing is wasteful Democrat spending. And the Democrats are sitting here like the GOP is manufacturing the crisis. The crisis isn't real. They're putting together a poison pill and forcing us to vote on it. That's kind of their argument right now. And what the evil Republicans are trying to do is take away your health care. Right? Like, that's the general argument here.
Well, let's see the actual meme video that they pulled together for this. Because I think when we needed some levity, because that was a lot of nerdiness. We probably lost like 3/4 of the audience right there. So we got to get them back in with some kitties.
Well, and that's why I kind of wanted to buzz through some of the numbers here and then get to the dialogue on this has been fascinating to me. Because it's like it's just meme warfare. Everything is meme warfare. Like, we played up front Jeffries and the Trump video, which, by the way, Trump's personal Twitter account tweeted that out, the sombrero stuff in the background. But then now the Democrats are fighting back with this like kitty phenomenon. That sounds weird.
Kitty, like a kitty cat.
Yeah, but
yeah, just, I know. Sounds weird. Well, you're thinking with a D, not a T.
Yeah. Sounds kind of Epstein-y, you know?
Yeah, right.
But,
right.
But they're fighting back with their own kind of memes. And, you know, it's like the first time I really feel like the Democrats are trying to meme.
They're really trying to do it.
They're still figuring it out.
There's so many phenomena here. Yeah.
So here's them explaining the shutdown.
Republican and Democrat kitties cannot agree on what should be funded. Democrat kitties want you to have health care. Republican kitties do not. Republican kitties control the Senate, House, and the White House, so they're using that to cut your health care and give money to billionaires. Democrat kitty tries to negotiate, but Republican kitty keeps running away. He has a vacation to get to. Uh-oh. Suddenly, the money you pay for your health insurance has tripled. Thanks, Republicans. Republican and Democrat kitties cannot agree on what should...
Okay, so let's do a quick fact check here. The Republicans control 51 votes in the Senate, but they don't have 60 votes in the Senate, which is what you need to pass this. So the reason why this didn't pass, why the CR didn't pass, and the government is shutting down, is because the Democrats voted against the CR. That's what happened. This is a Democrat government shutdown.
But the Republicans are stealing your health care if they pass through.
Right. And Democrats are trying to be compassionate and give you health care without mentioning any of the collateral consequences, of course, of what this spending does. Like I said, if you subsidize supply, it increases prices. It's an interestingly bad video in terms of Trump is really cute in that little cute outfit right there. Look at the guy with his little hair.
It's one of those things where I'm like, a lot of the stuff that they're trying to participate in the meme warfare, and I feel like this is going to be a theme of the show, is a lot of the things that they're doing, it's just like, I feel like you're joining JD Vance's campaign team, and I feel like you're helping Trump here. Like if I was Trump, I'd just start using this.
Well, they are. I mean, the Trump team.
A lot
is.
Of the Trump, yeah.
Team yeah, is. Yeah. Look at the next one. Like if the one just below that, Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like.
So it's a video of Trump's in an interview and he's handing a piece of paper over and he's like, "Look up, I'm a cat now," and now there's him with the cat face on.
But this is all over my feed. So what? It didn't hit your feed, but these cat things are all over.
Yeah, my feed was like crazy. All sombreros. Oh, that was It was just sombreros.
It's a meme moment, man. It's crazy. But the thing here is the left is improving, right? They're a learning machine. Mm-hmm. Compare it to the memes you saw in 2016.
Well, we used to always say that the left can't meme.
Right.
Like that used to be the meme.
It's like a 10-year-old joke now. And it's still true, but this is a little bit better. You know, that at least was kind of relevant. You know, they used the AI voice that you hear on all the TikTok
YouTube short stuff.
Right. They at least like tried to do something interesting with it to tell their narrative. But
they're trying to get their social media strategy together. Because that is one of the big things is the Trump social media team is a machine now that's like quite good at doing their stuff. But yeah, it's just the cat thing. It is one of these things where it echoes the back during the campaign. There was like the whole like cat lady meme stuff that was going on and all the Democrats were super upset with JD Vance talking about cat ladies, childless cat ladies. And then you had like all these female celebrities posting Instagram videos of them with cats
to have a cat.
In a way to fight back against the evils that JD Vance said. And it's interesting that, you know, they're choosing cats again. Like there's something strangely symbolic about that. I feel like,
I mean, I imagine it was something like a meeting where they're all around like, okay, how are we going to sell this to the young men?
Gen Z loves cats.
Kitty cats. Young men love kitty cats.
Hello Kitty.
Yeah, another great male brand. So have you seen this New York Times video that they have? It's like, we talk to men. And it's like about the Democrats Party trying to get like some young male voters.
Yes.
And it is awful. Like, and basically the takeaway is that they tried to do this, but the guys that they are able to get are exactly the guys that you think they would get, right? Mm-hmm. They're the guys who have a kitty and would be like, ooh, a kitten. That I'm going to watch this video. As opposed to a dude, you know. And did we say that deep fried meme? That one I was showing you earlier. I forgot. I don't think if I shaved it. But it's a good example of like trying to reach out in that way.
Well, it's just, and we're watching right now, say like Gavin Newsom, for instance. I'm kind of skipping ahead here, but sure. Like Gavin is really trying to up his social media strategy. Like he started his own podcast. We've mentioned this in the past before. He started interviewing. He's been interviewing kind of everybody. Like yeah. He interviewed Charlie a few months before the assassination.
Right.
Trying to like, okay, you have like a grasp on the youth. Why is the youth going conservative? Mm-hmm. Like that type. Like it was an interesting interview because it was also just Gavin just being like, I just don't get it. You know, like there's like a lot of that type of stuff. But you have the Gavin Newsom press team. And just Gavin Newsom himself, they're using a lot of AI videos. This comes directly from the governor of California's press desk, where they tweeted out, good news, Patriot, like all in capital letters, like they're trying to channel that Trumpian aura, right? And it's like, good news, Patriots, with Washington shut down, it's even like bad grammar. It's kind of funny. With Washington shut down, I, Gavin C. Newsom, am now the leader of the free world. My platform is very simple. Healthcare for all Americans. No measles. Free school meals. Wow. Pudding for everyone. Free childcare. The moms love me. More babies. Good paying jobs. And no more evil tariffs. Eggs will be free. Hair gel subsidies will be available, but only for handsome Democrats. And we will also legalize cannabis. Crime will stay low and everyone will be high on patriotism. And no more Ticketmaster fees for the Swifties. Fees stay for Kid Rock. They will chant USA, USA, because we will be back and hotter than ever before. Thank you, GCN.
Yeah, so this is trying to get like Democrats to laugh. Mocking Trump? Is that's the aim here, right?
Which it is one of those things where it's really boring being a Democrat right now, right?
Right.
Like the Republicans are having so much fun.
They're trying to
get everybody's
a vibe.
Having a good time. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of like a vibe thing. You know, he's really trying to appeal to the Italian population with the free hair gel products.
and he noticed his profile picture has changed to Queen Trump. That's an interesting angle.
Yes, I got that here too, is... Now, and this is one of these things where, one, it feels a little transphobic, Gavin.
Oh my God, how dare he?
Yeah, it feels a little transphobic. Yeah,
he's implying that it's not okay to dress as a woman when you're a dude.
I know, that's...
How dare he?
Men can't be women. What is this guy
saying? I mean, I think Trump looks beautiful right there.
He does look beautiful.
So
he changes to his profile picture.
What makes like, the... Yeah,
his
I
official
know,
that's, press office.
That's a pretty... Like, it's a good, it's that's kind of a ballsy move.
Wild.
Yeah. So he's definitely trying to play to the moment. So you got to give him that, right? He's trying to create a vibe. But what makes the right-wing vibe work is that you get the sense from Democrats that it is under their skin, that yes, it bothers them.
It does.
When I don't think this bothers anyone on the right. Like the right looks at them, they go, huh, funny. And they move on. No one's mad about this.
Well, right? it's sort of like South Park had been doing a lot of...
Trump is
ribbing
Satan.
Ribbing on the Republicans and stuff, but you saw all of the different Republicans like making their South Park character, their profile picture, all that's like,
yeah,
you know, like they're laughing about it. They're having a good time with it. You know, mm-hmm. like, and that's the difference from where, when people are ribbing the Democrats, it's like, oh my God, that's like a thought crime.
Right.
Kill them.
Yeah. I mean, it was an exception when they took down the Charlie Kirk episode and then the right wing was like, dude, don't do that. You know,
Charlie
like,
loved it.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It was, it kind of shows you the cultural moment difference between the parties.
Yeah.
In a major way.
Yeah. Charlie celebrated it. He was just like, I love this. The thing that I built 10 years ago is now this like crazy thing that's, you know, mainline Comedy Central comedy right now. Like, that's awesome.
Right.
Like that was Charlie's attitude. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just pointing out that it doesn't get under their skin in the same way, and that's what makes the vibe happen. So I don't think this is working, although you have to give them props for actually changing a little bit, because the Democrat Party is extremely resistant to change lately.
Mm-hmm. Like, here's another thing that I'm pretty sure that you saw it too, which is what I was referencing before here, but he types out, poor JD, his sweet beloved couch now costs more with the tariffs, and they are using the JD Vance meme.
Hello and welcome to my show. A History of Couches. I'm your host, J.D. Vance.
This is from
special episode for you
Gavin
today.
Newsom's office.
Some artifacts shape nations. Others shape desires. Few shape both. The Chesterfield couch is one of them. Commissioned by Lord Philip Stanhope, the fourth Earl of Chesterfield, this sofa was designed for posture, elegance, and control. Deep button tufting, rolled arms, a back and sides of equal height. A design that did not merely support the body, but contained it. Once reserved for aristocrats, the Chesterfield spread into libraries, parlors,
Always Sunny,
and now living rooms worldwide. but its allure has never diminished. There are rumors that I once had an encounter with a Chesterfield. People exaggerate, twist the truth. But when you sit on one, you understand where such stories come from. The Chesterfield isn't just furniture. It's an experience. And some of us know that a little too well. Thank you for watching A History of Couch.
Like, that came from Gavin's office.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, like, I look at that and I was like, yeah, it's funny. It's ribbing JD. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of jokes. Like, there's the jokes about him when, like, a kid, like, people made up that he was, like,
he screwed a couch.
He screwed a couch, yeah, or whatever.
Right, right.
But then also there's a lot of people where it's like JD's spot is on the couch in the Oval Office. Like, that's where he's always perched and offering his advice all of the meetings and stuff like that. So, like, there's a lot of, like, couch references and they're playing into that. So, like, they're understanding the meme of the moment.
And here, they use the fat JD meme in this case.
But, like, JD himself posted the fat JD meme. Like, he loves it too.
Right.
That's
right.
The funny thing.
Right. That he used to be kind of really chubby, you know, and now he's gotten a lot better shape. But once again, this is funny, and they did hit funny, which entertainment and engagement are really really important in the current environment. But I don't think it gets under the skin of the right wing. Once again, no one's like, "How dare you?" You know, I mean, do we see "How dare you" in the comment feeds?
Well, here, like, look at this right here. Somebody random. I don't know who this is.
Yeah.
The thing is, JD will actually laugh at this. While your leader would arrest you for doing this. And then it pulls up a Gavin Newsom meme. I just signed a bill to make this illegal in the state of California. You can no longer knowingly distribute an ad or other election communications that contain materially deceptive content, including deepfakes.
That is a good counter.
Which I think this was proposed during the early Doge days with Elon.
They just passed the bill.
Yeah.
No, just this, like, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I don't know when that tweet was written. That might be a different.
I remember Gavin getting all, like, pissy about this during, like, early Doge days, because Elon was posting a bunch of stuff on X using, like, the Grok stuff to, like, make fun of Gavin at one point. So he, like, fought back with it.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that might be it. But the California bill is currently under litigation now. I think the Babylon Bee is one of the
interesting
people in lawsuit
for, like, parody stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess let's get into some of the press that's happened around this.
So it is important to note that not all the Republicans are on board. Rand Paul is the one Republican holdout of the group. Now, you have to understand that it doesn't matter what Rand Paul does here, because you need 60 votes to get across. So you need the Democrat block vote. Democrats never don't block vote, almost ever, especially on fiscal issues like this. So therefore, you gotta visualize Rand Paul as the one who's saying, no, I'm going to hold this to the right of everyone so that we can maintain the standard of what is actually going on here. We could play the first bit of this one to kind of see that.
Homeland Security Committee. He's the only Senate Republican to vote against this GOP spending bill. Senator Paul, good to have you with us. We show that 71%, according to the Gallup poll, disapprove of Congress. Obviously, that's a pretty ugly number for the place where you work. Why do you think that is, and why did you vote against this bill?
You know, historically, when you look at polls of Congress, everybody hates Congress in the generic. But people tend to like their own congressman a lot better than that. So most incumbents actually have the reverse of those numbers. What I would say about the spending bills is I address every spending bill, no matter which party presents it, as to whether it will add to the debt or save us money. The Republican plan adds about $2 trillion to the debt. The Democrat plan would add about $3 trillion to the debt. I'm just not for piling on more. We have a $37 trillion debt. Somebody's got to do something about it. Someone has to take a stand. And there needs to be a conservative wing of the Republican Party. And sometimes I'm it. Right now, I am it. I'm opposed to deficit spending. I proposed an alternative, the penny plan, which would balance over 5 years. And I will vote for that. I will vote for something that has less deficit. But I'm not voting for a $2 trillion deficit. The one irony here, though, for Democrats is these are the Biden spending levels from December of last year. Every Democrat in the Senate voted for this bill last year before they voted against it today.
That's right.
So and what they're talking about is the overall scope here, right? And what Rand Paul is pointing to is the overall problem, which always gets washed out, unfortunately, in this, is that we do have $37 trillion in debt. And to remind everybody, that's $109,000 of liability for every citizen, $342,000 for every taxpayer. And our annual deficit is $1.6 trillion to 1.7. It's going
to
end that range.
Not to mention the interest is just, I think it's at a trillion now.
Yeah.
It isn't just the interest alone.
Yes. So like these problems are a problem and we have to do this by spending cuts. And the Democrats fighting this on the basis of like providing, of like subsidizing healthcare as it's already an increasing cost is such a huge problem. Now the people will ask, of course, what people would ask is, well, that doesn't really affect me, right? All I get downstream of this is the benefits, right? We tax the corporations and the rich people, and then we send, you know, money overseas, and we do all these military stuff. We have this huge empire, and we subsidize all the old people and all the, you know, medications and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't affect me that we have a deficit, but it does. It's just invisible. You don't see it. Do you any guesses on the price of gold right now?
It's high.
It's almost $4,000 an ounce.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not far from $4,000 an ounce. That's enormous compared to what it was as I remember when I first started tracking gold price at around 1500.
Also, like it, same thing with yesterday, just like Bitcoin and crypto in general, kind of retapped like all time highs again. At least Bitcoin did. Rest of cryptos were a little bit lagging behind that, but you know, same thing. It's the digital gold argument, right? Mm-hmm. So
and silver at $46 an ounce. It used to be $26 an ounce, right? These kind of increases in these asset prices aren't indicative of rich people's greed. They're indicative of the devaluation of your dollar. That's why everything's getting more expensive, is because they keep printing dollars. Now, they printed a lot of dollars during COVID, and that's why we have the massive increases. But this debt being created also contributes to the national inflationary problem. We have to have something that tackles inflation. How do you do it without addressing some amount of spending? Now, Rand Paul's right. There's not enough spending cuts here. I totally get that. It probably wouldn't have passed the House with Rand Paul's plan,
unfortunately,
because there's too many Republicans who'd vote against it.
Well, that's the thing, too, is a lot of these were like non-defense discretionary spending. Like they purposely are leaving the defense stuff out of this, which that's one of those areas where just bipartisan support in general, you're not going to get any like defense spending cuts.
And entitlements, right? There are a lot of Republicans will not tolerate entitlement cut, right? This is the most you can expect of the Republicans. This is the soft bigotry of the low performance of the Republican voter in these eastern districts and these most moderate districts. And then additionally that, the lack of accountability for the Republican voters to have a vision of how we're actually going to solve actual social problems using our point of view. And that would require message discipline about inflation and actually driving an issue. But they won't do that, Barry, because it does mean tackling defense spending. All you have to do is change the mission, and then you can tackle defense spending. But unfortunately, there is no policy consensus whatsoever, not serious policy consensus on the right, in order to do that. We see an emerging one with America First, but it's not there yet, right? And if we're going to be a regular country in regular times that's at peace, technically, we're not at war with anyone right now. Technically, we're kind of at war with Venezuela, Ukraine, and Palestine, I guess, and Iran. But we don't have to be. Those are other countries' issues. You know, we don't have to. These are all choices that we are making that is driving the inflationary problem, making things worse for poor people. This is a problem for Democrats and for Republicans. The trick is that Democrats are uninterested in talking about, and neither are Republicans, not the real solutions. So we're left with the suboptimal of printing more money, just slower.
Well, here's there's the Rand Paul critique of it, but he's doing the right flank thing.
Yeah.
So just trying to hold the line on, you know, spending, trying to get it more, to get to be more spending.
Right.
Now we have the Democrats' House Minority Leader, Hakeem Jeffries. Here's kind of his messaging on it this morning.
He's going to put a sombrero.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is
no
day
sombreros on this video.
Two that's, of that's Donald next Trump's video. Shutdown, but it's day 256 of the chaos that the Trump presidency has unleashed on the American people. Republicans have shut the government down. Because they don't want to provide health care to working class Americans. House Democrats continue to be here on duty. House Republicans are on vacation. We are ready, we are willing, we are able to sit down with anyone, anytime, any place, including the president and the vice president, to try to find a path forward to reopen the government, enact a spending agreement that actually meets the needs of the American people, while at the same time addressing the Republican healthcare crisis. Unfortunately,
We can stop there, but you kind of see.
But I thought we solved the healthcare crisis with Obamacare. What is he talking about? There's no healthcare problem. We solved that back in the day, right? Right?
Like, I thought so.
These people are never satisfied with anything. It's just spend more money until this problem gets better. And that's not working, guys. It's not working. Healthcare is more expensive now than ever. Insurance is extremely expensive right now. Thank you, sir. Come on.
And then I want to show you guys Trump's response to all of this.
Look, guys, there's no way to sugarcoat it. Nobody likes Democrats anymore. We have no voters left because of all of our woke trans bullshit. Not even black people want to vote for us anymore. Even Latinos hate us. So we need new voters. And if we give all these illegal aliens free health care, we might be able to get them on our side so they can vote for us. They can't even speak English, so they won't realize we're just a bunch of woke pieces of shit, you know, at least for a while until they learn English and they realize they hate us too.
This is from Trump's personal account. He tweeted this video of Senate Minority Leader and House Minority Leader Jeffries and Schumer. For audio only listeners, I should probably say that Hakeem Jeffries is in a mustache and a sombrero. Haters will say it's fake.
Well, we are in the deep fake era. That's actually pretty good. For like
that's crazy.
5 seconds, I thought they just photoshopped on Hakeem Jeffries, and that was an actual Chuck Schumer comment.
Until he started saying,
they're like, oh.
Well, and it's the same thing. So this came from the White House today. It says our social media manager was furloughed, but almost Friday. And it's a picture of a drawing of a sombrero saying almost Friday.
Hey, look, you got Cat Trump in the bottom right corner.
Yep.
Yeah, there he is. See, adopted. Just adopted.
It's just, they're just playing.
Keep going down.
So
what are the other comments?
Oh, God, this is one of my favorites. Somebody put, they photoshopped Trump with maracas and a sombrero doing his typical Trump dance at rallies.
He does look like he's got maracas. Yeah.
As I was saying, I love the Hispanics. I love Hispanics.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's, geez, you know, it's just one of these things. We live in such a strange time right now. And then Trump also, from his account, is just post an image of him pointing at that's Hakeem Jeffries, right? Yeah. Mm,
yeah.
It's just what a time to be alive. Wow. We're living in the meme warfare time of politics. Like, we've never had memes be so prevalent.
Right. And when that's really the moment, the question is, that comes out of it, beyond the shutdown and the bullshit spending problem and all this other stuff, the bigger question that's most interesting to me is who wins, right? What narrative wins, and what are the methods for arranging that narrative, right? The methods of the right appear to be go on to Fox or go on to the news media when you can, say what you can to the official news press or the grass tops. But then, you know, most of the actual effort is put into meme warfare.
Seize the memes of production.
Yes.
Like, it's it's sort of like Elon always says, those who control the memes control the future of the universe. And right now we're feeling the Republican, or like the general GOP conservative America First vibe is dominating the culture, especially in the aftermath of like Charlie Kirk's assassination and things like that. Like, it just further amplifies it and like makes him a martyr for this movement that was already sweeping through the culture. And like, and then you just have this, when the Democrats are trying to learn how to keep up. It's sort of like the Obama campaign back in 2008 really like revolutionized how campaigns operated. Like, it completely, especially both of us have campaign experience. Like, it's kind of like, you know, we lived in a time where the right wing side was really trying to like catch up to how well the Obama administration or Obama campaigns had done in 2008.
Yeah.
And then the Republicans kind of caught up to that. And now like the Democrats are now in the catch up phase because Republicans seem to have surpassed them in like understanding new media, new technology, how to run things. Right. Whereas like back in the 2016 campaign, that's where everything happened. Like, Trump won through this like internet campaign and like free media, and everybody's like, what happened? How did this happen? It doesn't make sense. obviously it's the Russians. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, but then I think realistically they realized it was like, well, there's these like really strong social media influencer accounts with like millions of followers on Twitter. We got to take control of Twitter,
right,
which starts the censorship apparatus and the censorship regime kind of going into the 2020 election to try to like steal that back in mm-hmm. that way. So like we're watching that tug of war of like media, of new media warfare. Mm-hmm.
They put their energy in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. They put it into censorship rather than actual competition and value creation to entertain and bring people in by having a party people want to join. At least a part of this that I feel like if you're listening to this and you're saying it doesn't seem serious, it doesn't seem like politics to do what they're doing, right? If you have that instinct, it's understandable, especially if you're a little bit older, to come to that conclusion because you're thinking about it in terms of like, well, what's the message here? What are we actually driving at? The message sits at a deeper level than what the superficialness of having them in a doing the maraca dance or Hakeem Jeffries in the sombrero. What and it really helps, I think, to understand what is a meme, right? Mm-hmm. So a meme is how cultures change outside of genetics, right? So a gene is how biology changes over time due to environmental pressures. A meme is how a culture changes in the same evolutionary process of change, marginal change on small changes over time that allows culture to evolve and solve things with either technology or cultural institutions or values that arise bottom up. That isn't created top down. Censorship, top down. Memes, bottom up. Mm-hmm. So what makes it what it is, to the degree to which it is a organic thing. I mean, I'm sure bot farms are part of this and like paid influencer types and things like that are all part of this too. Yeah. There are structures within that that are non-organic, but the overall organicness of the architecture is how the meme is changing culture and changing the underlying structure. So it's similar to the way the left really controlled the narrative through humor during the kind of heyday of Jon Stewart mm-hmm. on Comedy Central. What was this program called?
The Late Night?
No, what was it called?
The Daily Show?
The Daily Show. Yeah. The Daily Show. That sort of thing really controlled the culture, not by serious argumentation, although people took it there, yeah, right? Yeah. There will be people who will walk away from this whole meme war thinking this program was literally written to give illegal immigrants healthcare. Mm-hmm. That's not how it's written in code, right? These are just subsidies given to hospitals.
It's medically true.
That they then use for the things that aren't paid for, that they were required by law to pay for. Does that make sense? So because they're required by law to pay for, to service everybody who shows up, they take the free money and they use it for illegals, or they use it for homeless people who don't pay for anything. Those sorts of things are what's happening. That's unquestionable. But that's not what the program was, right? So, but that's not the important thing. You can't actually get to people with the high resolution picture of talking about what these things are. And my nerdy economics thing flies right over a bunch of people's heads. So how do you get everyday people to come onto your side? A joke about Mexicans, right?
And they're giving illegals free healthcare. Yes. Like that's a much more emotionally charged thing.
And, yes.
And it's sort of like JD's point was that, you know, it's the money's fungible. Like this isn't necessarily going directly, but like indirectly it is doing that. And There are like certain statutes that are allowing that in certain states and things like that. But actually to kind of circle back to your point on the meme side with Jon Stewart and The Daily Show, it's the same thing where I think that's part of the reason why we're seeing the freak out with like Jimmy Kimmel and everything right now, where you had Jimmy Kimmel, The Daily Show, Seth Meyers, you know, kind of a Saturday Night Live in their Weekend Update section.
Yeah.
Those types of things really were massively controlling to the memes of like that decade,
right?
Really. And now we're moving out of that and they're freaking out because it's like, we're losing viewership. Everybody thinks we suck, but like they're still in this old model that is just like, that's not where the memes are being generated anymore. Mm-hmm. And now they're in freak out phase because of it.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Yeah. I mean, it better captures the current incentives of the social media system, right? The meme, what we mean by meme, is the cultural genetic DNA changing. And that was determined more centrally by the networks and now is determined by social media. And the Democrats are struggling to keep up. So it's important to kind of keep that in mindset. And so when we come out of this, when the Democrats finally do compromise, and I'm sure they compromise on something, last time they did this in 2018, they pretty much made a big stink about it. And then they end up basically compromising on a promise, because it is extremely difficult to be the, so they lost the fight in 2018, technically, right? They lost the government shutdown fight then. Will they lose it now? Well, it depends on whether or not people blame them for the shutdown, right? Because the shutdown then impacts services and everyone's freaking out. And then voters start to be like, well, why are we shutting down the government? Just run yourselves. Don't quit coming to me with these problems. And eventually that gets to the Democrats like, oh, we're losing support based on this. And then they compromise and they do something.
And that's the hard thing for me to judge in this moment, because like we're both super internet native. So we're seeing the internet side of this and the algorithms are going to be more generally right wing tuned for both of us. And it appears that the GOP is just completely winning the meme war. But I still don't know how much of a hold the left has through the corporate media structures. And I don't know how much that still is in effect right now. Like, and I'll be curious to see kind of the future polling on this and things like that. But it feels to me like the right is completely dominating this culture space.
This is an interesting question for you. I'll answer my own question to give you time to think about it. What do you look to try to get a sense for what normies are seeing? Mm-hmm. What I tend to look to, and it's been pretty reliable. When I see something show up on like a gym bro page that I follow, that's kind of like, and it has the right DNA written into the meme that's meant to be funny, that's kind of poking jokes at politics, I know that's entered the mainstream, right? Mm-hmm. Or oftentimes in jiu-jitsu, we'll also have those kind of things. So now both of those cultures do lean right, but they're more normie in their nature, right? They're not a political thing. So therefore, when it gets there, I know it's been able to permeate the blood-brain barrier and get to that place.
Yeah, I have like certain friends in my life where they're much more normie when it comes to politics, and they're just not as like plugged into politics at all. So like, and I often just kind of get these like, Kyle, I just saw this thing. What do you think about it? Because like, I'm like their political friend, you know? So I get a lot of those things where I'm like seeing what people feel about like a given issue. I get a lot of that type of stuff where it's like particular people in my life, I'm like, I can see. And like, frankly, a lot of those particular people in my life have shifted more to being much more conservative culturally over the time period. Like, like I noticed, and this was before Charlie Kirk was assassinated, I had a bunch of people in like my regular life that were just not politically affiliated at all asking me about Charlie Kirk over the last few months. So it was like one of these weird things where I was like, well, and then he got assassinated and I was like sitting there like, well, that's weird. I just had like all these people, different people like asking me about him because like how much it seems like he really got into normie culture with his YouTube content and stuff like that. Like it seemed like that was really deep there.
Yes. Those like those vectors in your life that you can look to try to see outside what the algorithm's feeding you.
Yeah.
Right? And so, and when we look at that, we don't know what the end result is going to be. It's hard to know, right? Because we have two different systems that work very differently trying to win the middle here.
Yeah.
And what's going to be victorious, I do not know. But I do know that if the meme thing wins, if the Republicans win, which I think they have the tailwinds here, right? Because it's the Democrats who are factually voted to shut down the government. Like they literally stopped the CR from passing. Therefore, they're the ones who own the shutdown. Mm-hmm. That's going to be hard for them to run away from. No matter how much they block and bridge to the other issues, they're going to have to own that some degree because they're the ones who took the votes.
Well, and this actually is a good transition into getting into some of J.D. Vance's messaging. I thought he had some interesting messaging. He spoke at the White House press briefing for a while. It was quite humorous, actually. I got a few clips. But here's kind of on the more serious note, just like, this is the Republican messaging right now coming from J.D. Vance, and I thought that this is kind of useful to see.
But let me just say a few things, and then I'll take a few questions. Number one, Democrats say that they care a lot about lowering health care costs, and yet when the president took historic action to work with the drug companies to lower prescription drug prices, the Democrats did nothing to help us. In fact, we would have loved to have the Democrats helping us, but they didn't. They talk about doing something. They don't actually do the hard work of making it happen. What they have done instead is to shut down the government because we won't give billions of dollars to healthcare funding for illegal aliens. That is what has actually happened. To the American people who are watching, the reason your government is shut down at this very minute is because, despite the fact that the overwhelming majority of congressional Republicans and even a few moderate Democrats supported opening the government, the Chuck Schumer AOC wing of the Democratic Party shut down the government because they said to us, we will open the government, but only if you give billions of dollars of funding for health care for illegal aliens. That's a ridiculous proposition. Let me say two other quick things, and then again, I'll take some questions. Number one, We all understand that Democrats and Republicans have policy disagreements. The Democrats want to do things. Look, when Chuck Schumer and Akeem Jeffries were in here a couple of days ago, they made some suggestions that the president was more than happy to say, yes, let's sit down and talk about how we can solve the health care crisis that we inherited from the Biden administration. But it's one thing to say that we should solve the health care crisis for Americans. It's another thing to say that we're going to shut down the government unless we give the Democrats every single thing that they want, which, as Caroline said, includes giving billions of dollars of taxpayer funding for health care for illegal migrants. That's ridiculous. Really, you don't have policy really disagreements that serve as the basis for a government shutdown. Let's have the conversation about how to fix American health care, about how to make health care more accessible. As the president showed, he's more than willing to act on behalf of the American people for this very reason. What you don't do is say, unless you do exactly what we want to do as congressional Democrats, we're taken hostage. And the hostage, it turns out, is critical, essential services that the American people need. Caroline talked about some of it. Let me talk about some more. Our troops are not getting paid starting today because of the Chuck Schumer wing of the Democratic Party. We have people who require food assistance, low-income Americans who require food assistance, who will not get it unless we reopen the government, thanks to Chuck Schumer and his wing of the Democratic Party. We have flood insurance as we start hurricane season in the southeastern part of our country. That flood insurance is going to disappear because of Chuck Schumer and the far left of the Democratic Party. We need to reopen the government. Let's fix America's problems. Let's work together to solve them. But let's reopen the government before we have our negotiation about healthcare policy.
Right, we can stop there, but that's kind of his messaging side.
Yeah. Do you have the clip where he talks about the beard thing with the from Hegseth?
No, did you see that one? I don't have that clip.
Hegseth had his big, you know, dressing down of the generals, where he's mentioning standards, and he talks about, you know, basically fat soldiers with beards, and he's like, that's not what we're doing here.
No, I had actually pulled a different one from here. This one is kind of equally funny. This is how he started out the press briefing.
First, now, Caroline, I don't know how.
Let me start from the very beginning.
First, now, Caroline, I don't know how you do this, how you actually choose people, because I don't know 90% of the names in here. Is it just who's the best dressed? Okay, I really like your shirt. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
I guess that's how he started out the questioning.
What a charming guy. Got the whole press room laughing.
I think that guy could be president one day.
Oh, man. That was a good politician move right there. Well done.
Yeah.
Hey, look at all these people. They hate his guts, but if you make that large again, they're all smiling. Right? Yeah. That's a Trumpian moment.
Dispel them with humor.
Yeah. Is she wearing a mask or is that a scarf? That's a scarf. Never mind. I was like, you wear a mask.
It's like, it is one of those things where the vibe definitely feels like JD's our next president. Like, he's winning the meme war. He has completely and utterly embraced the memetics of it all. It feels like Gavin Newsom is like working for his press team right now with what we saw before. It seems like the general sentiment to me right now is everybody's loving JD. He seems to be really high in favor.
Except for the Groypers. They're pretty mad at him right now. He has an Indian wife.
Everybody that has the Palantir hate bug, they really dislike him. Like, a lot of people that are worried about the new tech overlords coming in and stuff that, they're all...
Steve Bannon, that's one of the ones I've seen kind of dogging on these guys.
Nick Fuentes, Laura Loomer is in that category. I see that. There's a lot of, like, hatred of Peter Thiel.
Yeah.
And that close connection, which then also by proxy is like hatred of Elon Musk, and you know, there's like hatred of David Sachs, the crypto and AI czar. There's a lot of that is in there, but they seem very properly embedded into the administration now.
It's going to be difficult, even from within, to unseat them if they keep the current momentum. Now, we're a long ways from 2028, but.
Yeah,
that's
always the thing. Most of the times it feels like the person who's the front runner, and it's the same thing on the Democratic side, like Gavin Newsom. He's currently the front runner, but a lot of times the person that's the current front runner right now winds up being like third or fourth.
Yes.
Actually, when you have this big field, and we'll start to see who is actually what people want.
And it depends on what Trump does. Does he pass the torch? Is there a clear anointment?
Yeah.
Or, you know, what?
Because what I imagine is what we're going to see is we're going to see half the administration run, and it's going to be like 20 different candidates in here. Mm-hmm. But then it'll consolidate to three, and everybody will kind of like Marco Rubio is going to run. J.D. Vance is going to run. Yeah. But then they'll see which way the winds are going, and then they'll kind of like just jump on board with the other person. And there's like, what do the people actually want when it comes down to it?
Right.
It feels like it's JD, but who knows?
Well, he's got the charm for the room. That's for sure.
Yeah. I saw this tweet from, is JD Vance, it's from Al Franken. Is JD Vance a liar, just woefully ignorant when claiming that Democrats want to give health benefits to undocumented immigrants? And, what I saw was this video of going back to the 2020 election, the 2020 Democratic primary. And I thought this was useful.
Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
Every single one of the candidates, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
His hand's not up.
Oh, no, he's just, oh, yeah, no, he didn't.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's the 101.
The one conservative.
Yeah, right. Biden. Actually, he just didn't hear it. He was like, what?
Undocumented.
Oh,
what?
No, he does raise it. He does raise it. He just put it down
earlier.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure everybody
like,
did.
He probably doesn't know. He's like, I don't know. What was my plan saying?
Yeah, this is after Tulsi was gutted out.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
I think, yeah. But interesting, Andrew Yang, forgot about him.
Wow.
Mayor Pete up there, Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah, so the Democrats are just running hard from this whole narrative because they know it's unpopular. I mean, they got smashed on immigration in the last couple elections. So they're trying to make the adjustment.
Yeah, and here's just one more here on from the J.D. Vance thing. He's addressing actually a lot of the criticisms on the sombreros.
Okay, go ahead and ask the second question.
So the president's been posting some images of Leader Jeffries and Senator Schumer.
I saw.
Recently. You've said that you're interested in good faith negotiations with these leaders, but, you know, what message does that send? Is it helpful to post pictures of Leader Jeffries in a sombrero if you're trying to have good faith talks with him?
Oh, I think it's funny. The president's joking and we're having a good time. You can negotiate in good faith while also poking a little bit of fun at some of the absurdities of the Democrats' positions and even, you know, poking some fun at the absurdity of the Democrats themselves. I mean, I'll tell Hakeem Jeffries right now, I make this solemn promise to you that if you help us reopen the government, the sombrero memes will stop. And I talked to the president of the United States about that. Go ahead and ask the second.
So let me be clear here. It's okay to call Trump Hitler and then claim that you wanted to negotiate, but he ran away. That's okay. But posting the sombrero with the mustache, that's beyond the pale. That is not being a serious politician. Come on. Get out of here with that. That's ridiculous. Just think of what the Democrats have been doing for 6 years now.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is ridiculous. And they're going to say, like, oh, man, we're the ones acting in good faith. Obviously, these are all things that happen in politics. You criticize the other side. Sometimes you do so with humor. And then not to mention, the minute you're saying that's racist, you're also like tanking the legitimacy of the negotiations because it's not racist. There's nothing racist about it. You know, that's not what we're talking about here.
We live in such a strange time. Here we have Anna Paulina Luna saying J.D. Vance. Some may say it's Photoshop and it's JD with a mustache and sombrero. JD Vance saying it's real.
It's real.
We have.
Buenos dias, amigos y enemigos. Buenos dias, amigos.
You know, you just kind of get like the memes don't stop. Anna Paulina Luna, she, you know.
More or better. She's getting in the meme game.
She's put a sombrero on for her profile picture and she's doing the thing. It's just
Can't we have fun? I like we're having fun in politics. This is a good thing.
That's kind of the thing.
Is it better than the seriousness and
yes,
we're gonna,
it is.
We gotta do everything by press brief, you know?
I hate when everybody gets all like super black pilled all the time and everybody's like super depressing and everybody's just like poo-pooing on and everybody's fun. It's just like the fun and the vibes are here now. Like that's what's great is we're, you're like, sure, is America a sinking ship? It's debatable, but at least we're having fun on that ship.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I actually had a whole rant about like the Roman Empire and the Spanish and the British and how they're crumbling from within because of fiscal policies and how they work. That's all true. Those are really great conversations to have, but they're really sad. So what we need is every now and then, especially given the moment, right? We had 2 weeks where it was like, that was a downer vibe, dude, understandably after Charlie. And now we're laughing about sombreros. That's a good day.
Charlie would have loved
thing.
It.
You know? Yeah. This one's for Charlie. This one's for Charlie. Oh.
And now we have kind of a Trump had some truths. He spoke his truth today.
Oh, yeah.
And has a lot of people, especially the Democrats, in kind of freak out mode.
He's right want now. To do that. Freak out the Democrats with truth.
Yeah. So he said yesterday, this one's from yesterday, is Republicans must use this opportunity of Democrat forced closure to clear out deadwood, waste, and fraud. Billions of dollars can be saved. Make America great again. You put this article in here, Dave. What's going on here?
So he's threatening to fire a bunch of people, right, in order to save money during this time. But the unions, the federal employee unions, is also threatening to sue Trump, or they're actually taking action to sue Trump over the mass layoff plan during the government shutdown.
Mm, yeah, because then today, this morning, he tweeted out, I have a meeting today with Russ Vogt. Vote? I don't know his name. Russ.
Read the name, Kyle. Why can't you read their name?
It's very. There's a G in there that doesn't make sense to me.
Vought.
But is it Vought? That's what it is. It's gotta be. It's gotta be.
But when you're the guy reading it, it's sometimes hard to read the name on the moment. Thank you.
Look, I get it. Reading is tough, David.
See, you get it. Now say it.
I don't have one of your fancy college degrees. I don't get these things. So I have a meeting today with Russ Vought. Vought. He of Project 2025 fame.
Not Project 2025.
To determine which of the many Democrat agencies, most of which are a political scam, he recommends to be cut. And whether or not those cuts will be temporary or permanent. I can't believe the radical left Democrats gave me this unprecedented opportunity. They are not stupid people. So maybe this is their way of wanting to quietly and quickly make America great again. President DJT. That is a beautiful truth, actually. It's like, it just hits all these things.
Well, and it's so triggering too. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you want to try to trigger me with this stuff. Let me trigger you. I was in on Project 2025 the whole time. And of course, everyone freaks out about it.
So I have the Lincoln Project here. Trump scammed you. He is and always was Project 2025, where they posted that. And then they posted him saying, I know nothing about Project 25. I have no idea who's behind it. I disagree with so many of things they're saying. And some of the things they're saying are absolutely ridiculous and abysmal. Anything they do, I wish them luck, but I have nothing to do with them. This was on the campaign trail when everybody was freaking out about Project 2025, which Project 2025 is just, it's from the Heritage Foundation, which is like just your generic milquetoast Republican organization, really.
They're more conservative than some others. I mean, you could claim to ones that are more moderate than them. But yes, they're a relatively conservative organization. Yeah.
But it is interesting in how purposely he put that in there, the Project 2025 thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's so intentionally designed. It's very juicy.
Yeah, I do wonder about Trump's first truth. Did you take a look at, not this one, the first one on cuts?
This one?
Yeah, use this opportunity to clear deadwood. Is he talking about cuts? Like firings? Now, I think he's just talking
about like wasteful spending in general.
He can't really cut anything though, right? Because of rescission rules, right? The legislature has to pass rescission to give him authority in that area, and they haven't. So this, without the CR, it's not like he can arbitrage the federal workforce on his own. So the labor union lawsuit might be on rhetoric. It might not be what Trump is saying here might not be real. Unless he sees some angle that I don't know about.
That's the thing is, like, I'm not entirely sure on the mechanics of it all, because that is the thing is Congress still has to vote on those types of things. So kind of like, okay, if the government just shuts down for an extended period of time, his legal team apparently thinks that there's an argument there unless he's just saying shit, you know, and that he's prone to do that. So
yes,
who knows?
Yes, yes.
Is maybe there's something there that we don't fully understand where, like, I guess it might even just be like, well, I guess this stuff's not getting funded then. Like, he might be taking that kind of approach to it. Whereas like, well, if we're not going to fund it, then we're not going to fund it. And trying to do, and then they can fight it out in court in the future or something. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I really wonder about that. Yeah. Cause it isn't clear to me why the shutdown actually would be more restrained in many ways for the executive on budgetary questions at that point, because you basically don't have any dollars to spend and you can only really use it for essential services as you get them functionally. It's a pay as you go is how it works.
Yeah.
So you prioritize that and you trickle it down. And so I guess maybe what he's saying is in this prioritization trickle down, that is the essential versus non-essential or whatever word that they use in the federal government, that he's kind of threatening, I think, subtextually on, I'm going to deprioritize the programs you like and the things that you like as I'm making this decision.
Yeah, and there was actually an interview with Trump from over at OAN, One America News Network, where he was asked specifically, like, is there going to be firings?
During the shutdown?
Yeah. That there might be firings during the shutdown. Do you think that will happen if the shutdown goes for a little bit of time, sir?
Well, there could be firings, and that's their fault. And it could also be other things. I mean, we could cut projects that they wanted, favorite projects, and they'd be permanently cut. So you could say, a lot of people are saying Trump wanted this, that I wanted this closing, and I didn't want it. But a lot of people are saying it because I'm allowed to cut things that should have never been approved in the first place. And I will probably do that.
There was an OMB.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll be curious.
It's
to see
always
where
hard
goes.
To tell with Trump because he's so liable to just be like, I can do that, right? And yeah. Just assuming that he can, but he can't.
He just signs random executive orders and is like, someone will figure it out.
Yeah,
like,
right.
There's
exactly.
Like a lot of that type
so
of stuff.
So it's
that
hard
he does.
To say that that's a serious threat or if it's just a rhetorical threat or if there's some basis for the legal standing once you're in a shutdown that no longer applies to a regular budget order that would give him the basis to do that. I would assume it would be in the prioritization, but that would end the minute the CR comes through because the CR doesn't cut this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's Rand Paul's point, is it doesn't do enough to actually codify the Doge cuts.
Maybe.
Likely because it wouldn't pass the House because Republicans in the House are cowards.
Maybe the Trump team sees a way of utilizing this to get further cuts in some way. Like maybe there's some sort of strategy that that they have in mind. Like that's the thing is I don't know the inner workings of some of the strategic end of this.
Right.
Maybe that's the angle that they're trying to take is like force the Democrats to take a fall, take a really bad optics loss, then push harder in some ways because they have to own the shutdown so we can push further and get more of what we want
right.
in order to get this thing to go through because they're taking the heat for it.
And at that point, it's not different than the Obama shutdown back in the day we mentioned earlier in 2013. I was in Congress. I was working for Congress in 2013 when that happened. And honestly, other than that, you didn't see some of the people who are like taking care of the grounds. Everything else was the same. Security was the same. Although sometimes we work shorter days because there's less to do, you know, like things like that. Like very little changed as far as what I could see as a staffer at the time. So it's a weird thing. There is one. There's under the ICA, the Impoundment Control Act, he can cancel appropriate funds via special message to Congress, withholding them for 45 days. Like he can do a reduction in force procedure under OPM. Oh, okay. Wait, hold on to this. Watch this. Basis Title 5 of the CFR Part 351 allows agencies to conduct RIS, meaning reduction in force, meaning for lack of work or insufficient funds.
Mm.
So maybe they're drawing on that. I mean, that might be the basis of their legal argument. OMB Memo September 24th directs pre-shutdown planning as an accepted activity. So OMB is putting this in, this is the Office of Management and Budget. This is what controls spending within the federal government is saying you can basically can people because there's not work for them to do. Got things falling from the ceiling, folks. Watch out.
I don't know what just happened.
it was one of the clips, I think. All right. Yeah. So interesting. Yeah. There might be a basis for it. It might be a real legal fight. Interesting.
Which would be crazy. Wow. Would be a crazy victory to be able to get that for the Trump admin, especially going into, midterms and things like that.
I'm just saying essential, non-essential workers, like I said up front.
Yeah, that could be it. I think to close this thing out, because we're running a bit long here, is I just wanted to show you guys the Polymarket betting on how long the government shutdown is going to last.
Okay. What are the numbers I'm looking at?
So currently right now, what we're looking at is pretty much nobody thinks that it's already over. This bet is closed in the first 2 days. Nobody thinks that it's going to be solved in the next 3 days after this. Virtually nobody thinks that it's going to be solved in the 3 days after this. Everyone's betting that this is going to either be from the 10th to the 14th, or it's going to go beyond October 15th on how long the shutdown is. Remembering up front, I said that the last government shutdown was a 35-day shutdown back in the 2018-2019 timeframe.
Right.
In general, people are betting money, believing that this is going to be a long shutdown, at least 15 days.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't know what to base a bet on that around, other than, you know, how the vibe feels.
It's the vibes.
Yeah. That said, interesting to note, the longer this goes, the better basis Trump has for actually letting people go.
Yeah.
And what to what degree that's going to be seen as an L for the Democrats as they fire their, you know, an important part of the deep state for them to be able to undermine Trump's agenda. At what point does that logic switch for them? They're like, wow, we're losing a lot of important people.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, you know.
Wow.
With the more libertarian vibe on this podcast, was let the government stay shut down.
I don't know. I think the last time this was kind of debated, we kind of argued the opposite side of it. I mean, because and usually, especially when Republicans
political
are in
charge
of it, it always looks bad. Yeah. But as far as when your enemy's making mistakes,
yeah,
let them make mistakes. And then... you know, it feels enjoy the
like,
fruits of that.
It feels like the last decade of government shutdowns that we've had in the past, it feels like Republicans always lost the optic side, but it's also, they didn't control the memes of production at that time. Where it's like now the Republicans have the memes and it just seems like they have total control over the optics, it feels like.
Yeah, the 2018 was actually won by the Republicans, right? And it's, but
it felt like.
Don't get me wrong. The 2013 one was not, and it was bad. And like I remember what the messaging framework or what the messaging environment felt like back then. And additionally, that the when we discussed this before, it was more like there's this budget fight. It might result in a shutdown. It didn't end up resulting in a shutdown, a large part because Republicans were afraid about making that mistake. So are Democrats making the same mistake? We'll see.
We'll see. Let us know in the comments what you guys think on where this is going.
Yeah. And if you want, join the Discord. You can talk with us directly. At least me. I'm in there the most. And we can share memes and jump in to see all the cool stuff going on. X together debating. We had some really great debates actually this last week about Christian nationalism and all the stuff that's happening on the internet there. Would love your opinions. Love you to come in and share some stories with us. And sometimes they wind up on the show. So we'll get you guys next week as we continue with Human Reaction. Thank you so much for watching.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com.